You're about to hear the Daf Yomi on Masechet Chulin from Daf Cycle number 12 in the year Tovshin Ayin Aleph. It'll be followed by a rapid review enabling you to get a quick glimpse of the Daf, and then I'm going to replay you the Daf from the 11th cycle from the year 2004, which you might enjoy more because of a different ambience and different participants. Enjoy. Start again. Today's Daf in Masechet Chulin is Daf Kuf Chof Chet, and we're up at the top. Rava Amar, one third of the way down, and we have been looking for the basis of the machlokas in our Mishnah as to whether if you have an animal that had a piece of meat or an aver that was meduldal, was hanging loose, and the animal was nishkat. So everybody's agreed here that shchita is eino osam nipu, and that actually the shchita is betayr midena vela, except that you cannot eat the basar because the basar is sada trey felamais. We said before that that could be in loyal bits for prosh, the alma, meaning it's a derabbanan, not really. But in any event, you can't eat the meat, but nevela it's not. So if you had in mind to give it to an arum to eat, so then the question is, does it require hechsher, or was it already hechsher with the dam of shchita? According to Rabbi Meir, it was already hechsher with the dam of shchita. According to Rabbi Shimon, it wasn't hechsher. We were trying to figure out yesterday what the makor of the machlokas was. We had a number of possible explanations. We're going to have quite a few more today. So according to Rabbah, the difference is whether in a case where the blood only touched the animal itself and not the parts that were medudal, whether it's possible to view an animal as a yad to the aver. If you view it as a yad to the aver, then Rabbi Meir would say that, yes, it was hechsher b'dameha. According to Rabbi Shimon, it's not a yad, and therefore it's not hechsher b'dameha. Abaye learned that the question is how to determine whether something is a single piece or not. And this, he learned the machloka to be, if you hold the small piece of a cut challah. If the rest of the challah comes up with it, then it's definitely all one challah. But how about if it doesn't come up with it? How about if it'll tear if you try to lift up the whole challah with one piece? That's the machloka here between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon, and this required a change in the girsa, as Rabbi Yochanan pointed out, because Rabbi Meir seems to say elsewhere in Tuyom that that's not the case, so we switched it around. That's where we were up to. We had two possible explanations. Rava Amar, today we want to see yet the third explanation and more. Rava Amar, a third explanation is that the machloket is, everybody is ready to go for the idea that the rest of the animal could be considered to be a yad, a handle, for the basar b'medudal, ne'er b'medudal, but the question over here is, does yad work for hechsher? Remember we had that machloket before. So everybody's agreed, yesh yad l'tumah. The question is whether yesh yad l'hechsher. And that is what we're arguing about. Ma'ar sarva yesh yad l'tumah, ve'ein yad l'hechsher, in which case if the dam, says Rabbi Shimon, only touched the rest of the animal, but never got to that aver itself, you can't transfer hechsher to the aver. You can only transfer tumah if the aver was mokshar. Umar Savar is Rabbi Meir holds yesh yad l'tumah ula hechsher, and therefore you don't require any separate hechsher for the basar and the aver. Rav Papa says, fourth explanation, I think the question over here may revolve around the issue of hechsher kodem makshava kamilu. Maybe the case is that you intended to feed it to a goy only after the shchita, in which case the dam shchita fell on it or on the animal and yesh yad and so on. All of those things don't matter. I don't care what the case is. In other words, it could be that yesh yad l'hechsher, it could be that the behemah is mishamish, anything that you want. But the question is whether hechsher helps. Because can you have a hechsher before it's called a foodstuff? Or can you have it only once it's a foodstuff, then hechsher makes sense to be gomer at shem erichum. But to say that, well, it already had water on it. Now, the moment I determine that it's food, it's already food that had water on it. That's a machloket. Ditznan, because Ditznan can also mean in a braita, although everywhere the Maseiros HaShas always change it to Ditanya, but we've seen clearly that Ditznan goes both for a braita and a Mishnah. But anyway, let's learn Ditanya to keep things clear so we'll remember. Ditanya Omer of Yehuda. Rabbi Akiva reports a story that happened to him with Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva was teaching that if you have chelev of a shkuta in the kvarim, tzarech machshava ve'in tzarech hechsher. Since when you talk about the kvarim, in the Kfarim, you know, people are close to the earth. They've got lots of animals. If they need meat, they'll eat meat. They don't have to wait for a butcher shop or worry about the price of meat. And then who's going to eat chalef? I mean, why would they eat the fats? They want good meat. In a city, there's always people that'll eat something. I mean, you got the poor that are ready to take whatever droppings they can get, you know. And therefore, because of that, in the city, you don't need machshava when it comes to chalef. But in a kfar, you do. Okay, so let's talk about in the kfar. Butcher shechs now, we've got an animal, we've got chalef. Basically, the chalef is going to be thrown out, or it's going to be used for industrial uses. But if you are machshavit to be food, so tzarech machshava, but it doesn't require hechshar, because it was already hechshar with the shechita. And therefore, it's clear that Rabbi Akiva was saying that even though the shechita took place before it was considered to be food, because you weren't thinking about it as food, it doesn't matter. Huh. Now, I, continues Rabbi Yehuda in the story in this bride, I hear this from Rabbi Akiva, and I say to him, Amarti lefanavli marateinu rabbeinu bet Rebbe, surely you yourself are the one who taught us that Olshin, Shilakatan, Olshin is maybe chicory, I don't know, how do they translate it there? You've got an uncle Art there? How does it translate Olshin, or do they just keep it as Olshin? Olshin, right. Shilakatan, so if you collect now these Olshin, which generally people don't eat, right?
Endives?
Huh? But endives, people eat endives, don't they? I mean, people eat endives as a regular food. I don't know why you would need require. Okay, anyway, but whatever these olshin are, it's something that isn't automatically used for human food. So you collected them together and you washed them off to feed to your animal. And then you decided, you know what, maybe I'll try it for salad greens. So over there you washed it first, and then you turned it into human food. Of course, only a human food is makabel tumah. You yourself told us that it needs to be washed again before it's going to be makabel tumah. Rabbi Akiva heard what I said, and he changed his mind then about the halacha that he had moment ago mentioned. Chazar bo Rabbi Akiva, so he changed his mind, and he said, you're right, the chalev in the kvarim will need a second hechshar, because it was not mukshar with the shechita, because at that time it hadn't been set aside as a ma'achal yet. Chazar Rabbi Akiva, liyot shonek Rabbi Yehuda. Basically, the machloket over here between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon is whether we follow the initial da'at of Rabbi Akiva or whether we follow the tikkun. So Mar Shavala Kami Ikara, that Heksher prior to Machshava works, or Mar Shavala Khazara, that Heksher only works subsequent to Machshava. And that would explain that we'd have to say, of course, that's the case over here. The Shechita took place first, and took place the Machshava. Rabbi Meir says, nonetheless, the Dam Shechita was Machshir. Rabbi Shimon says, the Dam Shechita wasn't Machshir, and Richie would rather be skiing.
Always.
You know, we had yesterday, Kol Ma Sheyesh Ba'aretz, Yesh V'Yam. They're skiing in Eilam Haba too. The only problem is getting there. Tickets are more expensive than to France.
Yeah.
So if you really would rather be skiing, Richie, the place to get there is paying attention to Daf Yomi. Then you got infinity skiing. You think you've seen skiing. Oh, man.
The ultimate.
You've got to be talking about 310 planets to ski. Okay, so that's yet another explanation. How about another explanation? Okay, so again, let's just remember. Let's go through them again. Explanation number one was Rava is a Be'emanaset Yad La'Ever. Explanation two is Abaye. Well, how do we define something's being connected? Oches Bekatan and Goro Eino Oleimo. Third explanation is whether a Yad works La'Hekshar or not. Fourth explanation is Rav Papa, which we just had, Hekshar Kodam L'Makshava. Two L'Shenes and Rabbi Akiva, the before and after the attack of Rabbi Yehuda. Fifth explanation is Rav Acha B'Reda Rav Ika. He said, it's talking about over here, that the dam splatters. It could splatter even on the aver itself. Forget about all these other issues. Yeah, this, that. Let's say it splatters on the aver itself, okay? So now, the thing is that in the middle of the shechita, The worker cleaned off the dam, so it shouldn't stain the animal there. And now, between the first siman and the second siman, the dam is nitkanea. Is that dam considered to be dam of shchita or not? What is that dependent in? Yesh on the shchita mitchila v'atzof, ein al shchita elo besof. That is indeed the machloket over here. Ma'asava yesh lo shchita mitchila v'atzof, and therefore from the moment that you begin to do the shchita, the dam is considered to be dam shchita and not dam makah. It's considered to be dam chalalim. Therefore, it would be machshir, because that's the only thing that is considered to be like mayim. Dam chalalim yishteh. So if that's the case, it says Rabbi Meir, it is considered to be already hukshel kabel tuma. Umar savar ina l'shchita l'lebis. So says Rabbi Shimon, therefore there never was dam shchita, there was only dam makah, and dam makah is not machshel kabel tuma. Explanation number 6. Rav Ashi Amar. This is the old machlokas that we had way back in the Lamids, where the question is shchita machsheret velo dam kamifli. Remember Rabbi Shimon's old shita. Don't look at the dam. Look at the act of shchita itself, which turns it into a foodstuff. Not that dam is machshir. Therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, the shchita in this case is certainly not machshir, because you're not allowed to eat it. So the question over here is dam machshir. Rabbi Shimon's shchita's dam is not machshir. That's the machloket. Explanation. No. Boy Rav. Now that we've said this. Boy Rav. Behema b'chayeha. I got another question for you. And we're going to have a series of questions now, all revolving around similar issues. Remember that our first explanation, which was Rabba's explanation, is a behema considered to be a yad for the eid. But of course, that's talking about a case where the behema itself is also an eichlin, and it's shayach to the kabbatum itself. How about a live behema? I mean, you had a situation over here with a butzer Abdul Dalif, you had a makshava on it. I know that Johnny is hiding right behind the range of my peripheral vision. But he is there, and it's a chizik.
He's not skiing, eh?
He's not skiing, no.
He's lying.
No, he doesn't ski. He's like the opposite end. He's overly focused. The world could be falling apart all around him, he wouldn't notice. So the question I have is, you said that the Basar Medulda, if you had a Makshava to give it to an Aku, even though it's connected, that's how we started this whole weird discussion, even though it's connected, it's still considered to be earthling. And that got us, of course, into the question of whether it's connected to Gabi Shabbos and figs that are dried out of the branches and all the other questions. I want to know, while the animal is actually living, would you also say that according to Rabbi Meir, you'd be willing to say that it's considered to be a yad for the Aver? Do we say that, look, I mean, Balei Chayim are not included in the whole parsha of Tuma. Therefore, they can't be a yad either, even to be Motzi Umachlis Tuma. Something that's alive isn't a yad. That is my question. Take it. Omer Abaye, I got a similar question, and this is perfect once again. Well, we're talking about Halloween, and we got to deal with these. We're going to have to deal with, we're getting into the old pumpkin question today. And, of course, bowing down to pumpkins and so on. We'll get to that in a moment. But how about if you got a gourd? It's almost as good. If you had a kishut, and you planted this kishut in an atzitz that was eno nakuf. So it's in a pot. There's no holes at the bottom of the pot, and therefore the pumpkin or the gourd cannot enjoy the bounty of the earth through the hole. So it's limited to the simple earth in which it's planted, and it's not connected to the ground. So that kind of thing could be makabel tuma because it's not mechuber. Now, how about if it wasn't makabel tuma, and now it continues to grow, and as it grows, it escapes its pot. It throws out pieces of itself over the edge of the pot, as plants are wont to do. At that point, the parts that are over the edge of the pot are able to enjoy the bounty of Mother Earth, and they suckle its smell, and they suckle its moisture, and anything that... Look at Richard, look at him. He's just... Oh, he's quelling, Zach, just like the pumpkin. And so, at that point, what's the din? There you go. So then it becomes tahor. Now, of course, becoming tahor has two different meanings. Becoming tahor is, if it was tameh, it loses its tumah, and that would mean the whole thing becomes tahor. Because once even that little bitty part starts enjoying the earth, its circulation brings it down all the way into the tippy toesies from the top of its head.
I mean, look, it puts roots into the earth.
No, it doesn't need to. It just needs to be stretching over the earth. That's enough.
Not even touching.
Doesn't even need to touch. But then the whole thing can become tahor, literally. That is to say, if it had already become a kabel tuma inside the pot before it was mechuber. Or it could mean it's tahor in terms of not being able to be mekabel tumah. We use the word both ways. So obviously he holds now, Tana Kama holds, that it becomes tahor entirely. It loses any tumah it's had. Amar Rabbi Shimon, I understand. Why is smelling the earth enough to be metaher? V'chimati vala taher. Ela Aisi. Now here we have a very interesting situation, which sounds awfully like the situation that we just spoke about before. One thing, which part of it can be mekabel tuma, and part of it can't be mekabel tuma. The living animal cannot be mekabel tuma. The Avraham Adullo can be mekabel tuma. According to Rabbi Shimon, the part that is sticking out over the edge cannot be mekabel tuma. It can, is bechuber, cannot be mekabel tuma. It's not food. The part that's in the pot can be mekabel tuma. So, what would be the din in its equivalent issue? Boy, I buy it. But could it be a yad lechaverta? That's what I'd like to know. What? How about saying that something which is, even though itself is free of tuma, can the piece sticking out outside, which has no connection to the parsha of tuma, can it be a yad to the part that is mekabel tuma, the part inside? So if something tamei touches the part that's outside, which is not going to become tamei, you'd have this curious situation, which the same plant, the inside of the plant is going to be mekabel tuma, but only because the outside of itself, which can't be mekabel tuma, very like the animal situation, nonetheless could act as a yad to the part that is sensitive to tuma. Take that too shall stand.
It's a yad because you can actually pick up the part of the plant.
Right, exactly. Omer Rabbi Yirmiya. Now, if we're talking about Halloween, are there people that bow to the great pumpkin? I mean, Charlie Brown, right? So he bows to the great pumpkin. Hare Omer Hamishtachavel Chatzi Delat. I mean, but suppose he only wants half of the pumpkin.
Look at the eyeballs.
Yeah. So now you bow down to half of the pumpkin. And you asur that half of the pumpkin as Avodah Zorah. Now Avodah Zorah is batame like a sheretz. But the other half of the pumpkin is for pumpkin soup.
Trick or treat.
There you go. Wow, Barnea, where are you when we need somebody to really appreciate something? Yeah. Okay, it's the ultimate trick or treat. So now the question is, what's the din, asks Rabbi Yirmiyah, about the interrelationship of the two half pumpkins? Now, one way we could learn this is the part that is tameh, and the part that's avodah zarah is tameh, not because of tumat ochlin, but because of tumat sheretz. There's some who hold that it's even the tameh like a mate. But okay, see. But this is a beautiful puzzle. Half of it he considers he uses for his statue, and the other half he uses to broil his hot dogs on. So here the question is, obviously, the part that is edible can be mekabel tuma, right? The question would be, can it also be a yad? So in other words, would it now, if it touches another pumpkin, the bag, food part, touches another pumpkin. Now, if the pumpkin itself is a yad to the part that's of a zara, then it's going to bring it to be a rish on the tumor. It's as if it touched the sheret. It's as if the other pumpkin touched the sheret because it went through the yad. If not, then it's just going to be tame as a sheni because the other half of the pumpkin was touching the sheret. So it was makabel tumas risha. Now it touched the other mechatz a sheni. Take Omer of Papa. Hare Amru. I have another question which is very similar. Yichush shateina. Here we spoke about a cutting off a piece of a tree. So in this case, you cut off a piece of a fig tree. It's nifshach, but it's still connected with the bark. Mu'ura b'klipata. And we're going to talk about how mu'ura it is. Can it regenerate? Can it live with this bark or not? So Rabbi Yehuda is mitayer. Rabbi Yehuda says, well, it's still considered to be part of the tree, and therefore the perot cannot be makabel tuma. V'chachamim omrim, it depends. Im yachol lichyot, if you'd be able to live with this bark, then it would be tahar. But if not, then it's just like a regular fruit, and we've been mekabel tuma. Ask Rav Papa, Maoshi yaseh yad v'chaveiro. But what about, let's say, a piece of this actual yichur, which is mechuber and can live? How about if another piece was disconnected from it, which cannot live? So this is a very similar case. Can the part which can live and therefore cannot be mekabel tuma, which is the equivalent of the live animal, be acting as a yad to the part that is not able to live and is considered to be tolush and can be mekabel tuma? That's the difference. Or we could do it the other way around. Can a yichur which is able to be mekabel tuma, the one that is not able to be chai, is the ilan itself, similar to the animal? Can an ilan act as a yad because I could still hold this branch up with the tree? That would be the question. So either way, once again, same question, either way. So take here to this stance. Omar Rebbe Zera, I have a similar issue. When it comes to Bayit HaMenuga, now, we know that there are two dinim of the Bayit HaMenuga. One of them is Chalitza, and one of them is Netitza. The first stage, when we want to discover whether the nega is going to come back, if we take out the pieces of stone that are affected by the nega, it's called chalitza. So over there it says, v'chiltzu et ha'avanim. Take out the stones, only the affected stones, not the entire house. If it comes back, so then you have to tear down the house. And over there, it says et ha'bayit. That's a big difference between avanim and bayit. Because suppose we talk about a stone, a cornerstone, which in a duplex supports next door also. So if you're talking about chalitza, where you're taking it out to see if it returns, there it's then in the oven. I have to take out the whole stone, even though it's going to affect the next guy's house. If you're talking about netitz over there, it says a tabayin, not the next guy's house. So over there I would cut the stone with a disc, as they say today, and I would leave the stone in place of the other guy's house. Now here we have the same issue. Because, I mean, a stone normally is outside of the realm of tuma. It's only an Evan Minugat that could possibly be metame. Otherwise, stone is the most impervious thing to tuma. You make something out of stone, everything becomes tuma. That's why all the old kalim we find here in Yerushalayim are all stone, to avoid problems of tuma for kayanim. So here, I have very much the same idea. It says, Evan shebezavit. If you have, and this is a Mishnah in Negoyim, if you have a cornerstone, which goes between two houses, kishu choleitz, if you're doing chalitza, where it says avanim, choleitz kula, you gotta take the whole thing out. But when it comes back and you're being notates, you're only notates this own part, and you cut it, umeiniachat shal chaveiro, and my question is, ma'o shiteya se yad, lechaverta, can the stone which is not affected by the nega in the other guy's house still be connected to that one to serve as a yad, and therefore the negia of the other one is going to affect the other guy's house through that stone? That's my question, Teiku. So all of these questions revolve around the same interrelationship of a yad of something that's outside of the normal din of tuma. Next piece we had in the Mishnah was that if the animal dies, on the other hand, then for sure, mita osa nipul. As a matter of fact, why don't we look back at the Mishnah, just look back to Kuf Chav Zayin Amud Beit. Let's see it inside. Meita ha-be'ema, the second line of Amud Beit. Meita ha-be'ema. So then, since mitas osa nipul, habasar tzarich hechsher. So at this point, the meat requires hechsher, because there was no shchita. There was no dam shchita. The aver, however, is metame. So obviously doesn't need hechsher because it's metame itself. But what is the source of its tuma? Not the fact that the animal is dead and it's an avela, because it actually is viewed as having become disattached at the instant of death before it became an avela. That's called mital sanipul. And memela, it's only an aver menachai. It's not an avela. And therefore, it's metame mishum aver menachai. Veino metame mishum aver nevela, which is ridiculous, because aver menachai has exactly the same tuma as aver menachai, which is what we're about to get into. What the heck is that supposed to mean? An aver menachai is an aver menachai, for all intents and purposes. I'm just going to explain what the difference will be to us. And Rabbi Shimon, remarkably, is metire completely. Sounds really wild. How could it be metire completely if it's at least aver menachai? Okay, so our first question, says the Gemara, says over here, Meta min ha-behema, the aver is metame, the boser is not metame. The boser would only be metame as ochlin if it's mekabel hechsher. Because remember, boser min achai is not metame. Only aver min achai is metame. And the aver is metame m'shem aver min achai and not aver min avel. What is that supposed to mean, asked the Gemara? My ika bein aver min achai l'aver min avel. I understand. It's the same exact tumah. It is the same exact tumah, says the Gemara. The difference is, if you cut off a kezayat of meat from an Avram and Achai, it's not going to be tameh, because it's not Basar Nevela. And Basar and Achai is not metameh. So as long as it's an aver, which is a full organ, fine, then it's metameh. The moment it's not a full organ, it's not metameh. If it had been tummy because it's an avela, then even a kezayat of basar is metame. You're telling me that's not a difference? It's a major difference. Yes, while it's tummy, it's metame in exactly the same way. But what does that have to do with the issue? Point is, basar aparesh mimeno, if it was bina aver, it's not going to be metame. Dilu basar aparesh mi'aver menachai is not metame. But a kezayat basar would be perished from an aver of an avela would be metame. How do we know that Aver Menachai is Metame, by the way, now that you bring it up? Aver, and of course this we're bringing up in order to clarify how we know the difference between Basar and Aver and all these other dinim. So where do we know that Aver Menachai is Metame at all? Mikra. Amar of Yiram Arav. The Pasuk is back to our favorite here in this sugya. V'chi amut min ha-behema asher yit lachem lo'okla nogeh b'liv latayit ma'ad ha-arev. Now, it says over here, Amar of Yiram Arav, or some say it's actually a braita. When it says min ha-behema, why doesn't it just say v'chi amut behema? It says min ha-behema, it means a piece of a behema. Now, how does a piece of a behema die? So miktsat beima mitama, miktsat beima ena mitama. Sorry, I skipped ahead. Sorry. Vichyamut mina beima. That means a piece of a beima that dies is mitame. So this is a piece of a beima that died. Ask the Gemara, man, oh man, this is a famous drasha that tells us one of the most important halachas. And without it, I mean, half of this besechta would be gone. And that is the Omer of Yiram Arav, the Omer of Matita Tana. The meaning of a chiyamut mina beima is to tell us that the only some beimot are metami tumat nevelot and others are not. Miktsat beima metama, miktsat beima ina metama. Where is there a beima that is not metama but remains osur ba'achila? Trefa sheshachata. You shech the trefa, then you cannot eat it, but it's not an avela. Now, I mean, if I need the drosha for telling me that, how in the world can I use it to tell me that, let's say, you shoot Richie as his head is falling down, whether he would be considered to be metamic and avela? Or, hello, Rich?
More like a sheriff.
I thought it was a shaken. Yeah. So how can you use it to tell me a piece of an animal instead of using it to tell me some animals? I mean, that's not the same thing. No, there's two different drushes. Look, it could have said kiamut beima. It could have said kiamut mi beima. And it says kiamut min ha beima. So basically we have two indications we're talking about. Something, a part of the animal, bia beima. That's even an aver. And it's also mina beima, some of the types that were shechted. So we have two separate drushes. That's the point. Shvamina tarte, we therefore can learn out both of these halachas. But wait, if the makor of the halacha is some of the animal, why wouldn't that include even basar? So that's some of the animal. So if a piece of basar is detached in its life, some of the animal has died. Ziyachi, afilo basar nami, no. Don't even think about it. The Tanya, that's where the English expression must come from. Right? Don't even think about it. That's losakadaita. The Tanya. Yoko yehe basar haporesh min achai tamei. You might think, indeed, what you just thought. Forbidden thoughts, Richie. Because Talmud lomar, v'chiyamut min habeima. Okay, it has to die. Does a piece of meat consider to be death, or is it replaceable? Death is not replaceable yet. Just like you can't use stem cells to revive the dead. So of course, it's got to be an organ that's not going to regenerate. But If it's something that will regenerate, a piece of meat will regenerate, cut out a piece, and it'll regrow.
But not a limb.
And not a limb, or not an organ, not a full organ. So therefore, Divrei Rabbi Yossi, that's the makar that it's not considered to be a mitame. It's not included in the pasuk of Tuma, which is min habehima. Rabbi Akiva Omer, the point over here is the comparison to the animal itself, min habehima. It still has to be similar to the animal. Just like an animal consists of an entire complex organism. Gidim and atzamot. Afko gidim v'atzamot. Not a piece of meat. Rebbe Omer, Rebbe says, wait. Last I looked at an animal, it's got muscle too, not just gidim v'atzamot. I mean, you're talking about a robot over here. Ma bema basar gidim v'atzamot. Say it like it is. Afko basar gidim v'atzamot. Now, there is a practical difference between Rebbe and Rebbe Akiva. There are indeed parts of an animal that have no basar, but they have gidim v'atzamot. What is that? The arkuva, the lower, what in a human is the foot, is the extended leg of the animal, has no muscle on it. It only has bone and tendon. So there, we talked about that earlier, the skin above that, is that considered to be part of the beta prasot or not? According to him, Rabbi Akiva said, all you need is gidim v'atzamot. You don't need basar. But according to Rabbi, you need basar gidim v'atzamot.
To make an aver.
Therefore, this is not called an aver. Between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili, major difference. Because Rabbi Yossi Aglili says the standard is, can it grow back? The question is, will a forever sleeping brain ever grow back, Richard? That is the question. Can it be regenerated?
Hair
will regenerate. So what is the difference between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Akiva? There's a big difference. Omer of Papa, the difference would be, let's say, a kidney. Okay, your kidney is not going to grow back. But, no.
That's why the liver grows back.
If you leave part of a liver, that's the difference in the mission between the liver and the kidney. So a kidney will grow back, and will not grow back. So therefore, it satisfies the criterion of Rabbi Yossi Aglili for an aver. It has to be an osech halipin. Does not satisfy the criterion of gidim v'atzamot. Certainly not basar gidim v'atzamot. And lips. Cut off a lips, they're not going to grow back. So according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that satisfies the requirement for not being osech halipin. So that's Nivsvatan. Both of those things equal. Tanya Nami Gabi Shrotzim Kagavda. Now, believe it or not, we go through this whole agonizing drusha exactly the same way when it comes to Shrotzim. We say over there like this, Yocho Basara Poresh Min HaShrotzim Yehetamei. You might think that in the same way we're learning Ela HaTameim Lachem Bechol HaSheretz, and we think that that means the same as HaPoresh Min HaSheretz. Nope, Talmud Lomar Bimotam. Ma mita in osa chalipin, of course in osa chalipin, exactly what Rabbi Yossi Aglili said about behema, he says about sheret. Rabbi Akiva says, no, it's just that the motam has to be similar to the sheretz itself. Ma sheretz consists of gidim v'atzamot, avko gidim v'atzamot. Rabbi says, just as he says by the mammals, or I shouldn't say mammals, but just as he says by behemah, sheretz, ma sheretz basar gidim v'atzamot, avko basar gidim v'atzamot. And here too, we made the analysis. Ben Rabbi, Rabbi Akiva, Ikebinar, Arkuva, which has no basar, Ben Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yossi Baglili, my Ika Benayu, says Rav Papa Kulya Veniv Svatayim Ika Benayu. Now you'll say, but couldn't we learn one out from the other? I mean, just tell me Sheretz and I'll learn the dinim of Nevela of an animal, or vice versa. They're both dinim of Tumat Nevelai, after all. No. Says Gemara Tzricha, we need both of these limudim. Because I Ashmina Beima, I would say, okay, a Beima is because, you know why it's not Metame as an as Basar Min HaChai, Lo Metame Mechayim? Because a Beima is maybe less or more than a Sheretz. It's never going to be Metame Bekadasha. It's only Metame Bekizayat. So Mamela, the Torah is not so makpid on the Basar of a Beima, but, I mean, Sheretz, we're over there, it's Tame. A filu beka'adasha, so maybe an achinani, a little piece of meat, would also be metame. Sheretz, the metama, beka'adasha, maybe it should be metame even as basar min hachai. And let's say it said it the other way around. Yashbina b'sheretz, so it would have said, okay, a sheretz, you know why the Torah tells me that a basar from a sheretz min hachai is not metame? Because a sheretz is not metame b'masa. So memele, it's less chomer. Therefore, it's not metame mechaim. But a behema, more chomer. It's metame b'masa. Maybe it'll be metame b'chaim. Tzricha. Now, the question is, suppose you cut off, indeed, a piece of Usr from an Avrim and a Chayim. Is it considered to be Tame from the Avrim and a Chayim? Does that depend on Machshava? Is the connected part of the Avrim and a Chayim considered to be Beit HaSarim? Is it itself going to be able to retain its original Tumah? Does it require Eksha because Sofala Tame Tumah Chamura? All types of fascinating issues which will now be addressed. I see I've got Rich's attention now. I mean, this is like, now he's on the edge of his seat. This would be a good place to stop and see if Richie will be able to get through tonight even. But I won't. I won't torture him. I'll continue.
The tale of a sheriff.
Wow. Saved by the bell.
What a wag.
The tale of a sheriff.
Yeah, that's part. Is it makabel tumah?
Yeah,
is it mitame? Sure, flesh.
And when it's dried up?
No, the whole sheretz is not mitame. Turn around. Ha'chotech kezayit basar me'ever minahai. So, you know, don't get confused with the ma'aser. Ha'chotech ayin l'chai and all of that. I know that it's very confusing, but this is a different issue. So somebody cuts off a kezayit basar from an ever minahai. Now, the question is, at what point did he decide to use this to feed to a goy? Okay. Suppose he first cuts it off from an Avrim and a Chayim. So it wasn't yet an Eichel. And now he decides he's going to give it to a goy. So then it's Tahar. Because at this point, it was not Makabel Tumah. It wasn't Eichel at the earlier one. So it's Tahar. But how about if before he cuts it, it was Chishev Alav?
Can a goy eat it?
No. But we saw already before that was that weird case where a Jew, the sheks for a goy. And since in the Jew's mind, it's Eichel for a goy. And vice versa. The goy sheks for a Jew. And the goy is but that also helps. So chishev alav, if however you decided to use it as a foodstuff, and then you cut it off, then it's tame. That's what the Braita said. Now, Reb Asi lo alave midrash. One day, Reb Asi was late for daf yomi. So he meets Rebbe Zera. Ashkechel Rebbe Zera. So he says, my amor bebe midrash, what did they say today in daf yomi? Or my lay, okay, you're starting up with me. Just tell me what you need to know, okay? My kashulacha. I'm not going to tell you what they said in base matter. What's your problem? You got a problem? He says, yes, I have a big problem. It says, that if you had in mind to feed it to a goy, so then it becomes oichlin, and memela, it's tame. How is it tame? That's what I want to know. It's tame because what? It touched the Aver Menachai before you cut it off, right? Yes, but that piece is Beit HaStarim. That piece is not exposed. The thing is that Tuma only affects parts that are exposed. So how could it convey Tuma through its connection? You can't connect, you can't convey Tuma through a connection. That's Beit HaStarim, not Matame. Tuma Beit HaStarim lo Matame. Oh, says Rebbe Zera, that's a good one. I had the same question, actually. That bothered me, too. And I asked Rebbe Abba Bar Mamo, and he told me, great answer. How money, Rebbe Meir? This is Rebbe Meir that we had before with the story of the Uber, who had stretched out its hand from the uterus. We went ahead and shechted the mother. Then we cut the busser of the Uber. And Rebbe Meir said over there that it's considered to be Maga, too, was Makabel Tumah from the Ava that was Yotze, that the Shechita didn't help. And Rebbe Meir said, even though the place where it's connected is Beit HaStarim, nonetheless it conveys Tumah, and everything is great. So it's Rebbe Meir. Omani Rebbe Meir, Yigamah Tumah Beit HaStarim Etameh. Yeah, sheep shot, says Rebbe Yossi. I had exactly the same experience. You know how many times he's tried that little trick on me? V'lav zimnim segi et amrakamai. How many times has he tried telling me that ridiculous answer? And I've explained to him a million times that it has nothing to do with this sugya. I can't believe he's still going around trying to say that. So he tried to tell me, v'amre leish, and I explained to him, shani leila Rebbe Meir, bein tumah d'boy yasher, bein tumah d'lo boy yasher. What's that going to say? I have to do with our sheet over here. Rebbe Meir over there was talking about a case where the Uber was already considered to be Basar because it was Hukshar with the mother Shechita. And that was Makshar, everything in the mother, including the Uber. So now the Uber is considered to be meat. Now you're telling me meat can be Makabel Tumah. Where in the world was this piece of meat that you're cutting off for the goy? How was it Mukshar Makabel Tumah? Now, I mean, what about the problem of sofalatami tumachamura? Huh? So it shouldn't need action. Why don't we say that? Tosfos asked that question. Because had I left it on, then it was tame as an Avram and Achar. So anyway, with the tame tumachamura is an avela. So it shouldn't need action at all. So many fascinating issues are coming up. Now I'm going to leave Richie on the edge of his seat. Ha ha! See if you can get to sleep tonight, Richie. Go ahead. Why not say it the other way? Ema b'sheretz latu yagbar, that's fine. Shekhetu basav ha-katzav damah. But ha-shoretz is not coming to tell me the bar of a rava business. It's kol shu shoretz. Afilu akbar shebayam. Ah, you said, but it says ala-oretz. Ala-oretz is only coming to tell me where it's mitameh. So if it's ala-oretz, it's yitameh. But if it's yorad liyam, lo yitameh. Said Rava to him, because it doesn't make sense. Me'achad ha-shavite liyam mokam tuma for the species, then what's the difference where you touch it? Maliyacha, maliyacha. But wait, how could al ha'aretz come to be memayit the yam? On b'boy le'lo'otzi safek tumet safa. Don't rebu yitzur barav edibi al ha'aretz is lo'otzi safek tumet safa. Yeah, but tarte al ha'aretz k'tive. Tan Rabban, moving on from the Yachabar. Hatzav l'mineu. That is maybe Arvat. Uben Anipul and the Salamander. Ukishoy Rabbi Akiva Magiel Apostle Zomer. Ah, Marabu Basecha Hashem, Yesh Rabriot Gdelot Bayam, Yesh Rabriot Gdelot Beyabasha, Shabayam el Moliolot Beyabasha Miad Metot, Shabayabasha Moliolot Layam Miad Metot, Yesh Rabriot Gdelot Baur, Yesh Rabriot Gdelot Bavir, Shabur il Moliolot Lavir Miad Metot, Shabavir il Moliolot Ur Miad Metot. Morabu Masech Hashem, Ton Rabbanan. Kol Shid Yesh B'Yabasha Yesh B'Yam, Chutz Menachulda, Omre B'Zira Maikra, Hazinu Kol Yoshvei Cholet. Omre Vunam Reid Rav Yehoshua, Bivri and Narash, or Bivri de Narash, Enan Min Ha Yishuv, Makolkes Rashi and Tosfos. Omre of Papa, I say they should all drop dead, B'Shamta Narash, Tarbe Mashche Ve'elite, Eretz, 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 Shimi Dvar Hashem, yeah, but that doesn't include Narish. Omrav Papalova Narish Moad Varashim. Omrav Gidal Omarav. Narsha Nashkecha Manika Kecha. Nahar Pekuda Lavyach Miglima Shpir the Chazi Allah. Bepumbaditai Lavyach Ashani Eushpizach. Omravuna Barturta Pamaka Talakti Lavad. Vraiti Nakash Shukaru Chalatzab. Niamim Yatsa Arvad Bibinim. Or Shabbat, Livnei Rabbi Shimon, Hasid Amar Li, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Emi, Viu Bria, Shalom Barati Balami, Afani Avi Aleyem Bria, Shalom Barati Balami, Vomar Marko Shetashmishan, Viburan Shava, Yoldim Umegadlim Zemize, Kojein Tashmishan, Viburan Shava, Ein Yoldim Umegadlim Zemize, Omar Av, indeed, it's a neis betoch neis. What do you mean? But it's Puranut. The Reader's Digest isn't going to write it. No, my neis betoch neis, the Puranut. You're going to write small miracles in this. People will be shattered. Ha'ever ve'abasar ha'medudalim b'veima mitamin tumatochlim b'mekoman v'tzrichen ekshar. Nishkata be'ima u'ukshur b'damei ha'div Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Shimon Amar lo u'ukshur. Meita be'ima basar tzrich ekshar. Because it's only basar menachai. And the ever is mitamin mishum ever menachai because mita osa nipul. But it's not matamim shum Avram bin anavel divrei Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon matahir. Okay, so you're telling me to matoch leinim to matnavel lo. I got to get the case over here. Yidamalin arucha. So then, how could it be to matoch leinim? It's a living animal. If it's a nami lo tamu, dein malin arucha. So then, why isn't it to matnavel lo? Also nami lo tamu. Liolam dein malin arucha. But shiny to matnavel lo. The Rachman Omar ki yipo miniv latam. Ad shi yipo. Tanyanam yachi ha'iver v'abasara medudalin b'veima urin b'chut ha'sara yachol yitamu tumat nevela Talmud l'mar yipol ad shiipol v'afilu achi tumat ochlim mitamu. Wow! V'sayei alei l'rabchia barashi Dom rabchia barashi amar Shmuel teinim shetzamku b'ibehen mitamot tumot ochlin and nonetheless atolish mem shabbat chayav katat Lema v'sayei alei Yirakochet samkubi ibehem kagona kruva delat ein metamit tumatochlin katzetzan veyavshan betarin tumatochlin that surely you can't mean katzitz on v'yavshan. Salkataita, how is eitz b'almahu going to be metamei tumat ochlim? V'yomar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, it doesn't mean they already dried. It means katzitzan liyavshan, I'm not liyavshan. So then, what's the chiddush of the first part? Taima de kruva de latu, because since they're yavshu, lav b'nei achila ninu at all. But shar perod would be metame. Again, you need to ask yourself, echidami, idi yavshan en vu k'tehem, so then there's no chiddush at all, pshita, el alav b'lo k'tehem. And it must be that nonetheless they're considered to be ochlim, despite the fact that they're totally mechuber for Shabbos. No, niolam ein v'uktzayim, and the whole point is to, as a lead into the last chiddush, which is katzitzan l'manat liyapshan. That's where it's trichale. Tashma ilan shenifshach ubo perot. Those perot are plushin, despite the fact that they're still on the branch. On the other hand, yavshu on the tree. Now, this apparently is a total contrast. And therefore, my love, when you say Tlushin, you mean across the board, l'chol divrayim, bein l'shabbat, bein din oyer tumas erchlin, af mechubarim is l'chol divrayim. Nishvach haraya. Midi ayre, hakadi ite, hakadi ite. Nishkata b'ayim. And then you don't need hechsher, according to Rabbi Meir, because the dam was machsher. According to Rabbi Shimon, the dam is not machsher. But my kamiflagay, Omar Rabba, well, the dam fell on the behema. Is the behema nazid yadla ever or not kamifli? Amar savrein behema nazid yadla ever, and therefore the dam isn't machshir. Rabbi Meir holds mar savrein behema nazid yadla ever. Abai Omar, that's not the point. The question over here isn't yad. The question over here is whether it's all one thing, and that revolves around the shayla of ochez bekatan the ingadol ole imo kamiflige. Mar savar ochez bekatan vein gadol oleimo hareu kamohu umar savar enu kamohu. And by the way, says Abaye, Rabbi Yochanan happens to agree with me. Af Rabbi Yochanan savar ochez bekatan vein gadol oleimo kamiflige. The Rabbi Yochanan rami the Rabbi Meir at the Rabbi Meir. Is it really true that Rabbi Meir holds ochez bekatan vein gadol oleimo hareu kamohu? Now where did he see that? Only in our Mishnah. V'ramino, what about the Mishnah Tful Yom? Ochel shenifras u'mu'ura b'miktzad. You got a piece of challah still hanging on by the burnt part. That pizza, sorry. Rabbi Meir Omer, im ochez bekatan v'gadol oleimo areo kamohu. V'im la v'inu kamohu. And that contradicts what he holds over here in Chulin. And Rabbi Yochanan was forced to conclude that mukhlefet ha-shita. He said, why is it even a problem? My kusha, Dumashani le Rabbi Meir, bein tful yom l'shar tumot. Ah, no way, Jose. Tanya Rabbi Omer echa tful yom, v'yechat shar tumot are exactly the same. Yeah, but I mean, maybe that's Rabbi's opinion. Dumel Rabbi lo shani, but Rabbi Meir holds it in his shani le. Om Rabbi Oshia, inochinami. That's all that Rabbi Yochanan was saying. Hoki om Rabbi Yochanan. Assuming that Rabbi is right, and that Rabbi Meir buys into that, that there's no difference, we have no choice but to say Mukhlefet Ashita in Tful Yom, which is indicative of his learning here in our Varaita, like me, says Abai. It's a din in Eila Imei. That was the recording from the 12th cycle, today's Daf Yomi. Here is the recording of the previous cycle, cycle number 11 of the equivalent Daf. Quite a different ambient, quite a different attendance. You may like to review the daf with it, or perhaps use it as your actual initial learning. Enjoy. Okay, we're holding today on Sunday. Daf Kuf Chav Ches.
Yes.
Yeah. And actually, we got up to the top of the podcast.
No, we were down at the bottom.
Were we? No. Sorry, I'm forced to disagree. Actually, we had gotten up to Mukhlefes HaShita. So we saw that Rabbi Yochanan also learned that our Mishnah was involved in the Machlokas. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon was involved in the Machlokas about whether something is considered to be a single piece, even where if you lifted up the smaller piece, the bigger piece would force it to rip off, and it wouldn't be early mite.
And Rav Yochanan clearly holds that because he points out that it seems to contradict Rabbi Meir Shita by a din of let's say, a piece of bread that was made out of truma. So over there, Rabbi Meir says, no, it depends if it's Eilei Yemei or not. Now over there, the issue was Nogea Tfuliyayim. And Rabbi Meir over there says that because the cotton vein got oily, but it's not considered to be one piece, even though in our Mishnah it says it is considered to be one piece. Rabbi Yochanan is forced at the saying Muchlefet Hashita. And today the Gemara wants to know, what's the problem, Bechlala? My question is that there not Gemina between Fulyan and the other Duma? I mean, in the case of the Erkos in the Ephras is referring to Tfulyom that's Nogea the Tuma. Tfulyom is the lightest of all the Tumas. All it does is will pass or truma from achila. The case that Rabbi Meir is talking about on our Mishnah is a case of serious truma, where you have the shayla of whether it took shabbatamir, even to be makabel truma from an ava truma. So well, what's the comparison? Maybe he's makil agabi tful yom to say that if it's not erleimai, then it's not considered to be one piece. Says the Gemara, well, hold on a minute. Tanya Rebbe Yainer, Echad Tfulyom, V'Echad Shar Tumas. It says, the Braisa, the Farish, on that mission in Tfulyom, of Erko Shenifras, in the Braisa, it says that Rebbe points out that even though the Mishnah is Shomri Lagabe, the Din of Tfulyom, it's in Mesefes Tfulyom, however, you should know that in this Havoka, there's no Nafkamina between Tfulyom and any other Tumas. So apparently, Rav Yochanan didn't want to say that that's the answer, that it's talking about Dafka Tfulyom, if Rebbe says in the Braita that Tfulyom is not unique. Okay, but still, I mean, you're asking Kasha on Rebbe Meir, finding that he's faced himself. You find that Rebbe says it makes him ask him if it's Tfulyom or anything else. And maybe that's Rebbe's opinion. But what, you're going to make a contradiction in Rebbe Meir based on Rebbe's opinions. And maybe to Rebbe, Taka, Lord Shalom, there's no Nafkamina, the Rebbe Meir, yes, Shalom, why don't you just say the simple solution? That Rebbe Meir, obviously, since he inverts over here his Shita, which is normally that it doesn't matter whether the Godel is Eila Yimai or not, it's considered to be one piece, clearly he's being Maker, Lagabi Tumma Tfuyo. I, Rebbe, says there's no Nafkamina between Tfuyom and other Tumma, it's fine. Rabbi Meir disagrees. But isn't that better than making a contradiction in Rabbi Meir? Rabbi Yosha, yeah, nothing I mean. The point is, what Rabbi Yochanan was saying was not that it's an absolute, according to Rabbi Meir, Mukhlef Sashita. Rabbi Yochanan was saying, Ledivre Rabbi, if you hold what Rabbi is saying, namely, that there's no Nafkamina between Tfulyom and other Tumas. So how do we explain the fact that over here in Tfulyom it says that Rabbi Meir makes the unity of the piece dependent on whether the Godel will be Eila Imakota? In our Mishnah he says it doesn't matter one way or the other, the Dam of the Shchita will be Maksha, the Bottle. Therefore, he's saying it's Mechalek Hashita. But in Afinami, it's very possible Rabbi Meir himself personally is a Mechalek between Tfulyom and other Tumas. That's all Rabbi Yochanan is saying. So what are you coming down on Rabbi Yochanan for? Rava says, forget about this analysis. The Machlokas, don't believe it. We had, remember, so far two approaches, right? Rava's approach, which was that the question is, can a behema be the yad for an aver? Can the tail wag the dog, basically? According to Abaya, the shayla is not a question of yad, but whether it's gush echad, based on whether the Godel has to be Eila im HaKotan or not. Rava says there's a completely different and obvious machlokas over here. The machlokas is whether Yesh Yad Batuma Vehin Yad Bahaksha. That's the machlokas. If you hold that there's no din of Yad Bahaksha, and we saw that this is a machlokas earlier in the Masechta. So if you hold that there's no din of Yad Bahaksha, so then I don't care. Even if we're all agreed that yes, Lagabe Tuma, the behemoth can be a Yad, and this, or we all agree that it's considered to be a Gush Echad, I couldn't care less, that's not the issue. The issue is, well actually not, the Gush Echad is certainly everyone not agreeing to. But if in this case there is the Hesher of the animal, what does Hesher have to do with Yad? You want someone to be muksha, you have to maksha directly, not be maksha yad to it. So maksha rabbi yesh yad tzuma v'ein yad v'hekshu. Therefore, it says Rabbi Shimon, lo yukshu. And Rabbi Meir, yesh yad tzuma v'hekshu. But the same way you can have a yad to be maksha maksha tzuma, you can have a yad to be maksha hekshu. Rav Papa says,
is it the ibis wet? Like
the whole thing got wet. So over here, the animal got, the front of the animal got wet, the dam, it's as if the bus got wet. Rav Papa says, I have a completely different issue over here. Let's say everybody's agreeing that it's a perfectly kosher heksher. The question over here is, when did the heksher happen? The heksher happened over here at the time of Shechita. The machshava that he was going to use it for Eichlin happened after Shechita. Can a heksher be retroactive? That's the shaila. Because at the time that the animal was wet with the dam shechita, it wasn't yet considered to be Eichlin because there was no machshava to feed it to anybody. So over there, that's the question. Do we say that retroactively, I say, okay, we see now that this is Eichlin, because now I have a machshava to feed it to an Eichlin. So now, since it got wet before, it's as if the Eichlin got wet. But do I say it has to get wet at the time now, after I already made it Eichlin? So that's the issue. The heksher could have machshava commutative. Machlokus over here is, does the machshava that turns it into Eichlin have to come before the heksher? Or can it even come after the heksher? And we know that there's such an issue, the Tanya. Omar Rabbi Yehuda. Kach haya Rabbi Akiva shoneh. What Rabbi Akiva used to say was a chelev shkuta. But kvarim, tzarich makshava ve'in tzarech heksher, shekvar ushar b'shkita. In kvarim where people have plenty of meat. As if you check the rain animals, enough to go around already for everybody in the kvar. They don't have to eat chelev. So over there, normally it wouldn't be
some watermelon. So you really have 3 times, I think you should get
some. Yeah, okay, I accept. Fair. So there, the question is, if I have a machshava to eat the chalef, so now it becomes foodstuff. Tainu Rabbi Akiva, you don't need to be machsha this foodstuff, because it was already mukshar from the time of the Shechita, even though at the time of the Shechita, it wasn't yet considered to be Eichlin. Amar to the fun of I, Rabbi Yehuda, said to Rabbi Akiva, Limaritenu Rabbeinu, did you not teach us that Oshin Shaliktam, the Itichan Labaima, if you collected some cress, and now you washed it off in order to feed to your animal? Now, Ma'achal for an animal is not Makabal Tuma. So at that point, it wasn't yet Mukshar the Kabal Tuma, and now Nimlach, thank you so much, now Nimlach Aleh, and now you've changed your mind, you decide you're going to eat it yourself. You said, Tzrichot Hekshar Sheni, you said that now you have to be Makshar again, because at the time that you washed it off, you weren't going to use it for foodstuff, you're going to use it for animal food. Animal food is in Makabal Tuma. So how did you change your mind now, and you say that the Chelev, once I decide to use it, I'll use the Dam Shechita to be Makshar. Why is that any difference than using the washing off for the first time for the Olshin? It's exactly the same case. And indeed, Chozer Rabbi Akiva, the Yotchenek Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Akiva was Makabal, Rabbi Yehuda's Taina, that it should require Hekshar Sheni. So Ma'al Sava Laka Me'ikara, Ma'al Sava Laka Chazara. So over here, the Makhlok is in our Mishnah. According to Rabbi Meir, even though the Shechita took place at a time where you had not as yet had the Makshevas Eichlin, doesn't matter. We say now this Eichlin is already Mokshev from before. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, Lo Yukshu V'Dameah. Rabbi Shimon, I'm sorry, was Lo Yukshu V'Dameah. He time is like Rabbi Yehuda over here. That it's no different than washing it off first for Michael Behemoth and then changing your mind. At the time that it was wet with the blood, it wasn't food. And now that it becomes food, it isn't wet. So there's no hechsher according to him. Ravaka Beredi Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Ikamar. Ravaka Beredi Rabbi Akiva takes us back to the beginning of the section. And these Mazbers, Machlok, is the way we were basically Mazbers a similar issue earlier. Benitkanea Kadam, Ben Simon, and Simon, Kamiflege. Over here, the issue is that before I completed the Shechita, I wiped off the blood. So the Shaila is, if you have Yeshua Shechita, Mitzvah of Asrei. So then, the blood now becomes Dam of Shechita. But if you have Ema Shechita, all of the same, the blood that was there wasn't Dam Shechita, it was a Dam of a Makah. Dam of a Makah isn't Makshah. It has nothing to do with any of these issues, Yada. It's Poshet Ashayla, whether Dam in those circumstances is Malchir or not. So Marasarva Yeshua Shkita Mitzvah, which means that I Dam Shkita, now that I completed the Shkita, so now any Dam that came out earlier, even though it's no longer here, is part of the Dam of Shkita. Whereas Marasarva Ina Lashkita Lubisot, in which case the Dam at that point was only at the Dam of a Makkah. If the Dam of a Makkah won't be Malchir. Rav Ashi says, I have a different issue. I kind of, the question over here is the question that we had earlier in the Masechta about what we had in the Mishnah. That Bishchita Maksheres Velodam Gamis Leget. The Shaila over here is, everybody could hold that there's a Yadla Hechsher, and there's no problem and, with any of the other questions. Or maybe it's even if you hold that it's ain't got a Leilima, it's still considered to go on priest. Nonetheless, since Rabbi Shimon's Shita, we saw earlier, was that Shita is Maksha and not the Dam, so Memela, the Shita over here, is not Maksha because it doesn't help you to be Matya the Sefer Bachila. If I shecht it, can I eat it? No. That means that, because even though Lamaita, the Shita helps to be Matya the Sefer from Eber Menachai because Ein Shita is an Yipu. But what's Rav Shimon's Shita that Shvita is Maksheres? His Shita is that anything, the whole point of Heksher is that's part of the process of turning something into the foodstuff which is Makabal Tuma, correct? So that's only if it helps towards eating. That's the point. That it's normally you say, you have a fruit. Until it's washed, it's not yet considered to be food. Because that's the derech to make something roy for humans to consume. So you say, okay, so it's the same thing when it comes to Shkita. Shkita is another step towards consumption. It takes the place of the hechsher of a liquid. That's the logic of it. But a Shkita that's only Matayr and Midei Eivrim and Achai, but is not Matir Bachila, is not another step towards Achila. Therefore, since Rabbi Shimon Shkita was earlier in the second parak, he held that there's no din of Dam Shkita being Masher. It's only the theft of Shkita that's Masher. It's only Masher, which may be the Krat Achila, but over here it doesn't help you to eat it. So in this case, there's no Hechsher of Shkita. If you take a look, that's the point. Rabbi Shimon Amar Lo Hukshru, because I argue on Hukshru B'Domeo, that's my Shkita B'Klal, is that Dam is it Masher. When it's Dam Shkita, that's B'Dav Chalomi. Ah, Yotaina, but it was Shochut, but the Sefer wasn't Shochut, so the Shmita didn't help for the Sefer, which has nothing to do with any of the issues that we raised over here. It's really not connected to the main theme of the parak, which is the question of Yad or Shemer or Bitzot or something else.
Why doesn't
the
Shmita help in this case?
The
Chaim.
It's an Abram and Achai. The Abram was Medulda. So the Shkita helps only that it shouldn't be Matani. But you're not allowed to eat it. It's like a trait for Shanishkata. It's possible to sort of trait.
So how does it become open?
It doesn't. Yeah, I mean, unless you pour water over it.
It's only
for a guy. Oh, even for guys, also. But if somebody had in Kavana to feed it to a guy, which is a nice way to put it. I mean, obviously, you might as well have had Kavana to feed it to
it.
Huh?
Then
you'd have to Maksha. Because Machshava doesn't help without Hechsher. That's a separate issue. Boy Hechsher, boy Machshava. Okay? Fine. So we have now quite a few different approaches in the Machlokas, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon, as to why Basar and Achai will require Hechsher, Aliba the Rabbi Shimon, separately from the Shkita. Boy Rabbi. Rav has an interesting question, and this question takes many forms, as we'll see. Behemad chayeha, ma'u she'te'aseh yad la'ebra. The Shaila is like this. Until now we know that something which is itself not roy to be mekabel tuma because it's not an ebra, it can serve as a yad for ebra, and that's the ikadin of yad. But how about something which is excluded from the concept of tuma? Not because it's not an earth and hasn't arrived at the stage in which it can be makabel tuma, but because it's a living animal. A living animal can't be makabel tuma because it's alive, not because it's not earth. So the shayla is, can something which is actively antithetical to tuma, can it serve as a yad? That's our issue. Does that understand the question? Take from Rabbi says, well, how about the case? And this is a very interesting case of a cucumber where you planted the cucumber in an otzit she'eino nakuf. So now what happens is that this cucumber was never connected to the ground. Right? It's entirely hydroponic. And therefore, it's mekabel tuma, even when it's so-called mechuber, because it never is mechuber. Well, what happens is the cucumber starts growing, and now it expands outside of the atzitz and grows new cucumbers as it expands, and those cucumbers are lying over the land. Now, they're not rooted in the land, but nonetheless, we say that anything which is growing over the land absorbs still the moisture and nourishment, even through the air. That's considered to be mechuber to the adam. Now you have an interesting thing, in which part of the plant is considered to be mechuber and won't be mekabel tuma. And it's actively anti-tuma. It's like the live animal, right? As long as it's a living animal, it can't be mekabel tuma because it's mechuber to the ground. Whereas the rest of it is able to be mekabel tuma. It's like the aver, the basar hamadulah, the thing. It's exactly the same case, tain as avaya. So if you have a kishut shenit not abi atzit, so it remains tohor. Omer Rabbi Shimon v'chima tiva l'taher. So you're saying it remains tohor, but in other words, that the whole thing now becomes tohor because we view it now as being connected to the part that's binyonic from the ground. How can it be mitaher, the part that isn't binyonic from the ground? Each part is seen as a different plant. The plant that's growing from the ground, that's extended outside of the atzid, that part is indeed mechuber and it's tahor. The part that's inside of the planter, which is not mechuber to the ground because it has no holes, so not to shein anoku, is basically foodstuff, it's a vegetable. And it is a mekabel tuma. And there, Abaye Tain is, okay, well, let's same question on this. Mahu shetayase yad l'chaveta? Can you be metame, the part in the atzit, by touching the part that's sticking out of the atzit and is doche tuma because of its people? Take it. Here too, we didn't have any indication. No, yad. The other part would be metame. Or vice versa, the other part with makabel tuma. Can it be motzi its tuma to another actually? Through the cucumbers that are now mechuber l'karka.
But the yad, in order to make it out of the yad,
it's no, not at all. The yad is something that's a piece of wood, be alma. You have a stick. And the stick is attached to a tree. And normally a stick can't be a mekabel tuma.
If you pour water on the stick,
that's the question of yesh yad l'hekshah. That was the other question we had earlier. Omer of Yirmiyah. I got another. This is a really cute one. And we're getting back now to our jack-o'-lantern. Right? So here the shayla is. Guy makes a jack-o'-lantern. Of course, only the front half of the pumpkin is really the part that has the smile and the eyes and so on. The back of the pumpkin doesn't really serve any purpose except to keep the light.
That's you can buy pumpkins. You got a car up on one place. It's got these small, perfect pumpkins.
You're kidding, man?
Near the pumpkins. The
wow. Which one? The one near the corner of the parking lot? Or
everybody uses the one.
Fifo's got pumpkin?
Pumpkin.
Oh, boy. The owner's in for a treat.
I said it's the wrong season.
That's great. That's great. Okay. Thank you for the piece of information. All your ships at sea, if you need any pumpkins. Out of season, just come to the old city and go to fight. So now the shayla is, obviously you make a jack-o'-lantern for purposes of Avodah Zarah. So this guy bows down to the front half of the pumpkin, not the back half, because the back half is just a plain pumpkin. So now we only answer the front half of the pumpkin. So the front half of the pumpkin, Lamaisa, now becomes like Avodah Zarah. Absolutely. Oriel will give you an example of the statues in which the back is unformed. First, the phony COVID.
I've been reading it in school reports.
So here too, you have a pumpkin whose back is not part of the Aved Zarah. So here, Rabbi Yirmi wanted to know. So Maru should say, "Yaseh, yah, the kaverta." Now the shayla is, let's say, can this thing now become? Now, actually, there's two ways of learning this, because of course the Aved Zarah itself is metame. But that tumah, even though we learn it from Sukkim, that it's kimodavah, say kimodavah, it's metame kenida, or some say it's metame kesheret, or all my folks get an Aved Zarah. But lamaisa, those are esmata. The halacha of tumah, of the kachamim, is a drabonin bialma. So, I mean, that's me ikaradin. Now, this piece of pumpkin that is asura, because of Aved Zarah, cannot be oichlin. Why? Because in order for it to be oichlin, it has to be sha'ata yachol la'achila la'achirim. And if you're not able la'achila la'achirim, it's asur ba'ano, so then already it's not considered to be oichlin even with machshav. That means that there's something in the pumpkin part, the asur pumpkin part, that is actively doichatumah, because it cannot ever be called an oichlin. So it's essentially like a live animal. Can that part nonetheless act as a yad, legabe the din of tumas erchlin for the other piece? That is the question. Now, of course, you could have read it in the opposite direction, which is, can the erchlin act as a yad for the iser, for the avedazora tumas? But as Tosis points out, it's very difficult to believe that we would ask that question, because throughout the circuit, we have no reason not to use erchlin as yadayim. There's many examples of using Oakland as Yadayim for other types of tumens we've had throughout the parakou. Why would we ask that? Therefore, he supports the interpretation, was the first interpretation of Rashi, that the issue over here is, consistent with the rest of the sugya, can the jack-o'-lantern part, which now it cannot be said to even to an akum, because it's also about no, can it become a yad even though it can never itself become tamei the tumas Oakland? I would have got this Rabbanan. Fine, okay, the Rabbanan. That it itself is Batami, but that's not going to change the din, like I have a Tumah D'Oraisa, Tumah Zeichlin. Tumah Zeichlin is a D'Oraisa. So here too we left it standing. Rav Papa says, you know, how about the case of Yamru? Yichur shel te'inah shenipshach umura b'kupakar. You have a branch of a fig tree where the branch has become cut off, but it's still attached with the bark. So it's hanging loose. This is similar to the case of Basar Menachai that's hanging loose on the animal. Rabbi Yehuda Mitaher. So Rabbi Yehuda says, under any and all circumstances, this thing is considered to be Mechuber, because the klipa essentially is it keeps it attached to the tree. Whereas the Chachomim say, well, no, it depends if it can actually live or not. So, im yacholich yotaho, v'im lav tamei. If, lamaisa, it's not able to survive with that piece of bark, then it's basically detached from the tree, and the male is no longer makluber, and it'll be makabel tumah. So, after Papa, here we also have an equivalent issue. What would be the din ma'u sheyaseh yad l'chaveiro? What about if, let's say, you touch... there's two ways of learning this, because in order to avoid the question of whether the eitz, which is itself a chuber, the simple way of the asking is, can touching the tree be marked as now tumah to it? But since he put it in this way, l'chaveiro, what we would have to say is, there's another piece that's attached to this piece, and it definitely cannot be chai, whereas the first piece can be chai. Can I use the piece which is bechuber to be a yad to the parents that are on the piece that are not bechuber? Which is the same thing as asking, can I, if I touch the tree, can I be metame now the loose parents that are attached to it? Which is basically the same issue, because a bechuber is actively deikatuma, and my question is, can it act as a yad? Teiku. Omer Rebbe Zeir, I got another really cute case. You see, you have two homes that are connected. and there's a nega in one of the homes. And there's two things that may have to be done. And the way they're connected, usually, is you use large stones that go through both walls, and you build the wall, you know, there was in the place where it cuts through both. And then you put a layer which it's only in one, and then a layer which it's both. Right? The way you use with bricks. And that makes it strong.
Party walls.
Huh?
Party walls.
No. You were talking about the outside wall in which a stone would go through both sides, and you'd have the mechitza in the middle. What's it called?
The lintel, a beam across.
Yeah, beam across. But it's only Avonim, which is in the middle, and not beams.
Is that the foundation, the bottom?
No. Any of the stones in the house. No. So now this, it's interesting that there's two different dinners. While we're trying to establish if the nega is metanya the bias chalut, there's the process which is called the choletz. You take off the stone on which the nega is, and that's etzaeves. And you remove it, and then you replace it, and then you see whether it comes back. If it comes back, you tear the whole house down. Now, what's interesting is that in Chalitza it says v'chalatata eben, but in Netitza it says v'chalatata bayit. So you have a very interesting thing that when you replace this stone with a new stone, so now if the nega is going to appear in that house, when I tear the house down, I can cut through the stone, leaving half of it in the other piece. Because only the part that's in this house is tameh. So now I have one stone, which is like the case of the pumpkin. One stone, which the part which is part of the wall in the house that's in the nuga, is tameh. And the part that's in the other wall is not tameh. So my question over here is, based on the fact, Harei Amru, that Evan should be zavit, yishu choletz, choletz et kula. So when he's doing chalitz, he has to take out the whole thing. But yishu notates, notates et shelo eminiach et shach averon. So my question is, here we also have an active anti-tumah, because a stone can't be makabel tumah. It's better and antithetical to tumah, unless it itself is an Evan Aminu God. But over here it's not an Evan Aminu God, it's only in the bias. But it's part of an Evan and Aminu God. Can I transfer, by touching it, and I transfer out tumah from the Evan? Very fascinating. Okay, so here too we have the same Shiloh.
What's
that? Eliyahu
has a lot of problems with
Shiloh. Since he's paskening based on his Kabbalah and Ninyan, he doesn't have to think too much about it. If he had to think about it, then we don't need him.
He has a Kabbalah.
Although that's the only reason Eliyahu has some value. Otherwise, what was it, Eliyahu? You can't use the Buddha Pascha in Shiloh. That's the point. It's just because he was in the Seder HaKabbalah, except he disappeared. So now we're going back. We're jumping back to the Seder HaKabbalah where we have much more information. But Lamaisa, if he says, look, I don't know, so then let's go take
him. It would be a document if it weren't for Kabbalah.
That's right. Why, he has no more Hashivas than anybody else. Continues the Mishnah. Mesa habehem. It's really an interesting thing. Since Misa is Eisa Nipo, if the animal dies, the Eva that was Medudal is not Metame Mishum Nevela, it's only Metame Mishum Eva Menachai, which is very strange because all along we use the word Nevela and Eva Menachai interchangeably because Eva Menachai is also Metame to Nevela. So what the heck's the difference then? So my Eka ben Eva Menachai. What's the practical difference whether you call it an avail or you call it an Eivim and Akai? Anyway, it's going to be Matami exactly the same way. But there's one difference. If you have basar that you take off, leave out the next words up till the ilu. The ilu basar haporeshu mi Eivim and Akai, lo Matami. If you take off basar from an Eivim and Akai, a kazai basar will not be Matami. Whereas me every minam nevela, it would be mitamim. How do we know this law? Like when I say mitamim, micro. Omer b'yonah merad. Pasuk is v'chi yamut min habeima. So min habeima. What you're saying is, if a piece of an animal dies, it's mitamim. That's the name. What do you mean? Come on, we used that already. That's one of our favorite drushes. Vani boy le leader Rabbeinu Merab. Yom Rabbeinu Merab bar mitzvah zitana. V'kiyamut min abeima. This teaches us that miktsat beima mitama, miktsat beima ina mitama. You're telling me min abeima. So you're saying only some of the set of animals is mitame when it dies, right? So how is that possible? What type of things are not matame, even though it's basically not edible, and the shechita wasn't matayer it? The ezazu zu trefa shesharta. This is the marker of our halacha. If you shef the trefa, it's not going to be matame, even though it's not kosher, because mina beima. So how can you use it to tell me now a piece that's ripped off of an animal? It's a completely different meaning, my friends. I mean, you're saying from the set of animals. Mina beima, or a piece that's torn from an animal. Can't mean both of those things, right? Now, how can you use it for both drushes? Says the Gemara, because in kein lichtov rachmana mi beima. What does min ha beima? It would be enough to write mi ha beima. Well, you have to write min ha beima. That implies it's actually ripped off of the animal. So those are two separate issues. You have from the set of animals. And we also imply by making it so much stronger that you actually rip off a piece from an animal, and therefore, in both of these cases, it's coming to tell us v'chi yamut min habeima. Now, how do you know yochi afilu baser nami? Why can't you say then min habeima if you rip off a piece of meat? Smetane. I mean, it doesn't say haver; it says min habeima. So how do you know a piece of meat wouldn't be metamic in a vela and a buser? Because I have a buser from an Abraham and I wouldn't be metamic in a vela. No, Socrates. I mean, you can't say that at the time. Yoko, if you hate buser, perish in a chayt. I mean, you might think that buser is the same thing as an Abraham and it should be metamic. Talmud lomar v'chi yamut min abeima, just like man mita she'nao sachalipin, of course she'nao sachalipin. Just like death is not repairable, so too, only something that is similar to the death of the animal, meaning a neighbor is not going to go back, it's not repairable. But baser, can we grow? And therefore, it's not considered to be metami. Give me
Rabbi Yosef. Baser from a living animal?
Yeah.
As opposed to an aver.
As opposed to an aver. An aver and an achai would be metami, because it's like the death of an aver. It's not like the Misa. It doesn't really dawn. Rabbi Akiva says that's not how to learn it. The way to learn it is the equivalence to behemoth. It has to be like a behemoth. Meat is not a behemoth. An aver is like a behemoth. A behemoth is gidim batzamais. So here too, it has to be gidim batzamais. Rabbi says, excuse me, it has to be baser gidim batzamais. What do you mean, gidim batzamais? Ma behemoth baser gidim batzamais? Afko, baser gidim batzamais. So now we have three shitas. What's the practical difference between the shitas? Ma ika bein Rabbi la Rabbi Akiva. So now, between Rabbi and Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi's timing, it needs meat. The difference would be the akuva nimkeretim arosh. The akuva nimkeretim arosh has no flesh on it. It's basically bone and skin. And tendons. That's the foot. An animal, a ungulate's foot, doesn't have any buster on it. All, you know, you can see it's all skin and bones and the tendons and connect to the muscles that are on the upper level of the foot, but not in the leg, not in the foot itself.
The hoof?
No. Remember that the human ankle in the ungulate is way up, looks like the knee, but it's the ankle. But from that point down, there isn't any muscle. There's just basically cords that attach it to the muscles in the leg, which are gidim. So you have gidim atzamas. According to Rabbi, you need baser gidim atzamas. So it's not going to be matame. According to Rabbi Akiva, you just need gidim atzamas. It would be matame. And how about then Rabbi Akiva or Rabbi Yossi Aguili? Rabbi Yossi Aguili darshaned it from Eisa Chalipi. So what will be the Nafkamina? Ma'ikamina ayu? Amrithapa. There you can have an even more intense Nafkamina. Because let's say you take a kidney. So a kidney has no beating and has no atzamas. But it's not going to regenerate if you take it out. So according to Yossi Aguili, it is considered to be now an aver. And according to the other sheet, it's not considered to be an aver. Because it's not determined by whether it's going to... Fact. You're doing so nicely. So in kulya, so kidney or lips, nitzvatayim. The lips will not regenerate if you cut off the lips, but there's no gidim and there's no atzomis. So be an opportunity between them. By the way, we have exactly the same discussion, the same three shitas, legabe shratzim. Tanya gabe shratzim kahagavna, where we darshan, literally work for it. Yachol basar haparishman ha-shratzim yehitamei, tamadoma bimotam. Mami, tashen ha-otzach ha-likvin, aproshen ha-otzach ha-likvin. Yivra jesagliv. Rabbi Akiva omer sheretz, ma sheretz gidim va-atzomis, apko gidim va-atzomis. Rabbi omer sheretz, ma sheretz boser gidim va-atzomis, apko boser gidim va-atzomis. And so, we have the same Shiloh over there, where what's we ask, my binayu, between Rabbi and Rabbi Akiva, the Arkufa, which on the sheretz also has no boser. Between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yosef Aglila, my binayu, there too says Rafa Kulyam and Yipsvatayim Ikabinay. Why do I need the same lima twice? I mean, why doesn't one agili on the other tricha? Because let's say the Torah would have told us these dinim binagia behema, and wouldn't have told us the dinim binagia sheretz. I would have said, you know what? I know time to lo matami rechaim. You know why the Torah doesn't matami bosses or perish while it's alive? It's mishum de lo matami bekadasha. In general, we're very mekel when it comes to tuma of a behemoth. Because the shear is big shear, kazayas, shagina, sheretz, a tiny kadashas, batami. Maybe over there the Torah would be machma to be matami, even the boss of its parish vimena. And on the other hand, yashmina b'sheretz, let's say I would have known that there's no gonna bust him in a chayin of sheretz's batami, I would have said, ah, that's because by sheretz the Torah is very mekel. There's no tumas masa on the sheretz. There's only tumas maga. So therefore, since it's Mishrim, the Lomitami Mamasa, that's why it's Lomitami Mechaim. Mashenkein at the Hema, we're over there as an Avela, it is Batami Mamasa. Maybe the Torah is marked that even a Kazayas boss of the first Rimena would be Batami Mechaim, Hema the Tami Mechaim, Tricha. Therefore, you need to know both of these Havokah.
The tail of a lizard which falls off.
The what?
The tail of a lizard which falls off.
Tail of a lizard is not.
What gina?
A boss of gina about some
ice? A lizard, when you scare him, he loses his tail.
Boss of gina about some ice?
Does it have?
Boss of gina about some ice?
It's a lizard.
Oh. Does a little eye have the chlama? Is that called this? Is a chayak have an Abram and a chayak from a lizard at all? Yeah, it's an exoskeleton, he's telling me. Lizards don't have exoskeletons. Some of them have skeletons. Right? No lizard has an exoskeleton. Only insects have an exoskeleton. A lizard?
Dinosaur?
Reptile? It's a reptile. But what, the sign on the snail, the chomet, the Choma does not have any So the Rabbana, Harakotev Kizayin Basar, Me'evim and Achaim. Somebody who takes out a Kizayin's Basar from an Abram and Achaim. So now there's an interesting Shiva over here. And while it was an Abram and Achaim, it would have been Metame to become one. You're saying that if you take out a Kizayin, it's not Metame. So now, if you decide you're going to eat this kezayis, the boser from the Abram and Achai, was it Makabal Tuma from the Abram and Achai that it was part of? Or does it need now to have new Tuma? That's the Shiloh.
Is this after the animal is dead?
Yeah, or it doesn't matter. Or after you cut it off entirely, which gets within the time even when the animal is alive. So certainly it would be different. So if, let's say, you cut off the Abram and Achai without thinking about eating any of it, and then you had a Machshavas Erechin now, after cutting the meat off of it, you have Machshavas Erechin. So then it's tahor until it's Mekabel Tuma again. But if Tishah B'Av, at first, while it was an Abram and Achai, it's tahor. Now you decided you're going to cut a piece of meat off to eat. And then you cut it, Achav Chotcho, Tameh. Then it's going to become Tameh because it was already in contact with itself. It was in contact with an Abram and Achai. So the Abram and Achai was Matameh the Basar.
It was Tameh anyway.
No, Basar Menachai is not Matame, and Basar from an Eber Menachai. But not Al Tzarikun. If I now take off, if I take off a Kezias from it, that Kezias will not be Matame. But if I turn it into a non-Eber, by cutting off his
part. No, I put in my hand this poker and it's an Eber Menachai, it's Tame.
Right.
Now I'll say, I'm going to eat it. Now it becomes Torah.
No, but if you cut off a piece of it, that piece, if a bad piece doesn't have Basar HaTzomer to give him, it's Torah.
If I decide to eat the whole.
No, the whole, and then of course it's Tame. So then it's also Eichon. But over here, you made it Eichon after it lost its Tumas Eber Menachai. So it wasn't a Kabbal Tumah from the Eber Menachai. So now the Shaila is, how exactly was it Mekabel Tumah? Was it Mekabel Tumah as I was cutting it off? Or was the rest of the Eber was Tameh? So now it's in contact, as I'm cutting it, it's in contact with itself. So Reb Asi, the day that they were learning this Mishnah, Arva Reifa, he couldn't make it to the Reish HaMedrash. Like Barnea. It's a truth. Lo Ola Bein Medrash. Didn't come into the Reish HaMedrash. The next day, he finds Rabbi Zeir, who was in the Beis HaMedrash. Omar Lei, my Omer B'Vein at Roshim. What did they say in the Beis HaMedrash today? So Rabbi Zeir understood he had it as a problem. His family's asking what they said in the Beis HaMedrash. My Kasha, what's bothering you? What didn't you understand? Omer, I'll tell you the truth. I don't understand. The Brisa that I learned, it says, Chishe, V'Achrika Chotcha Yistomei, how exactly was it Mekabel Tumah as I was cutting it off? Isn't that Tumas Beis HaStorim? Tumas Beis HaStorim, Lo Metame? So as I'm cutting it, it's Mechuber. But Mechuber is not Mekabel Tumah because it's Beis HaStorim. Anything that's connected to something else is as Tumas Beis HaStorim as you can possibly get. So I don't understand it. Rav Zera said to him, I'm like, after the Dikash, I'll tell you the truth, I didn't understand it either. And I could ask, this is a Shaila. V'she'ilti Rav Abba Bar Momo. I asked Rav Abba Bar Momo, and in order to find out what he answered, we have to come back tomorrow to Shem. Even Barnea will have to come back. Fine. What story is this, the last page? At Daf Yomi? No. You're only going away for the day. I keep around.